C1AP. Number 7A.
We were yesterday in the vision of truth with the trumpets, and we saw that the Revelator was showing us how each of the seven angels blowing the trumpet would uncover a specific counterfeit of the seven synonymous terms. That mind would uncover the powerlessness of mortal mind, that spirit would uncover the insubstantiality of matter and the flesh, that soul would uncover that the human mind and human thinking can never be satisfied, that it is always wormwood, that the human mind cannot really get the joy and satisfaction of spirit. Then he was showing how principle it was uncovering that the false systems, the material systems, are not working, that they must give way to the science of that of the divine principle. And then in life, we saw that life shows how it uncovers the belief that life is mortal, that life is in matter, and therefore uncovered that whole belief of the first death and on the second death. Then finally the sixth trumpet was sounded, and we have the great sounding of truth. And when that sixth trumpet sounded, then there was a great earthquake. And we witnessed there also how then at the point of truth the four winds were blowing, and that the four angels in the river Euphrates were aroused, that the four angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates were loosed, and they blew over the universe and were destroying the false sense of manhood. Through what? Through that breastplate of fear, ignorance, and sin. Showing really that truth is that which will show that mortal man is mortal, that he destroys himself, that he destroys himself through fear, ignorance, and sin. But naturally, to that situation, which is rather gloomy, the Revelator has to bring in the true facts of truth, and this is what he shows in the 10th chapter of Revelation, where at the point of the vision of truth, at the point of the vision of truth as truth, because it's the sixth sounding of the trumpet, we have the revelation of the little book that is open. It is at this point that Mrs. Eddy comes in with her explanation of Revelation. The very first verses that she explains now here in the text is the 10th chapter of Revelation. Bringing in what? We said it shows the 6,000-year period, which brings the revelation of Christian science, which teaches that all disease under which manhood is destroyed, that all disease has its origin in fear, ignorance, and sin, and therefore must give the remedy for this belief. And the remedy of this belief is in a little book that is now open. So that's the place value where Mrs. Eddy takes up the subject. Again, we can see she takes it up the moment the Revelator speaks about the book which is open, because she has opened the book. She has opened science and has shown it to the public in a book. It's no more sealed with seven seals. It's now open. And Mrs. Eddy has given this interpretation only when she wrote the 50th edition of Science and Health in 1891. So she wrote this exegesis after she had already many years before given the exegesis of the 12th chapter of Revelation with the gold-crowned woman. But we also know that only in 1891, with the 50th edition, Mrs. Eddy for the first time has given the textbook with the chapters that we have today. For the first time, the textbook contained those 16 chapters, which today constitute the structure of the textbook. So only actually in 1891 the book was open. Before that, the book was in the making. Naturally, it is so that even after 1891, she was changing the textbook, but here for the first time she had all those 16 chapters in the textbook that we have today. So only then, therefore, she could interpret Revelation as an open book which he has given to mankind. What we are going to do, we will take the text of that 10th chapter together and we'll read it together. And we will read it together, and you have in the study assignment in white, which belongs to the Apocalypse, this one, you have on page 3, then the epitomes to this 10th chapter. So with the help of those epitomes, you see there in bold letters printed truth, that's the sixth trumpet, and we will go through those epitomes. So take Science and Health, and we will read together this chapter, and it gives also a chance, as we read the text, to show you a little bit, I would say only a little bit, how to read a text in the textbook and how to interpret a text in the textbook. There are many rules that we can learn in order that we approach the textbook in a scientific, intelligent way. So the very first verse that Mrs. Eddy interprets is in Revelation 10:1, and I read there, the text in Revelation says, "And I saw another mighty angel." And I just take first, step by step, the terms that come up and stay with them and explain them. It is interesting to see that Mrs. Eddy starts out with this 10th chapter which speaks of an angel. We'll have to watch that. This is an important point. We'll watch how that term angel is afterwards overformed later on into the woman, and later on into the bride, and later on into the wife, that is the Lamb's wife. So that symbol must be seen in its various altitudes, in its various levels, and as we see that, then naturally we think in categories and no more just in single terms, and we can much better interpret the whole message. So it is said that it was a mighty angel. Now, what is an angel? I think everyone should at home take the concordance and look up what Mrs. Eddy says about angel and just see what she understands under that symbol. And we will find when we study that something very interesting, namely that the term angel has nothing to do with idea. Never is angel defined as idea or through a synonymous term. Angel is always defined through qualities. What kind of qualities? What does Mrs. Eddy attribute to the symbol angel? And I just give quickly a resume of what she says. I'm not reading out the quotations from the textbook, but you will see at once that angel has to do somehow with a divine thinking, with thinking at all, with a good quality of thought. Therefore, she says angels are God's thoughts. But we know naturally that science does not deal with thoughts, that science deals with ideas and not with thoughts. So one can at once see how she begins her explanation of Revelation at a very, I must say, low point, though that point is very high humanly, but a very low scientific point, namely with divine thoughts, with thinking. And afterwards, leave thinking right behind. So there are God's thoughts. Now we know naturally that God doesn't think. That's quite clear. If it is defined as God's thoughts, then it means that the ideas of God, when they come to the human, that they appear in the human as thoughts from God. But God doesn't think, and therefore God never sends thoughts. But God always has a Christ and sends idea, that the principle translates itself in the terms of ideas. And these ideas come to the human, and we experience them as better thoughts. They are God's messengers, she says. They are holy thoughts. These thoughts abound in the spiritual atmosphere of mind. So they abound in an atmosphere. They are not ideas of mind, but they abound in that atmosphere of mind because they are translated forms of mind's ideas. She says they are exalted thoughts. Can you see it has constantly to do with thoughts? They are spiritual guides, or put in other terminology, they are spiritual intuitions. And say they are spiritual intuitions. Now we know science does not work with intuitions. Science works with definite understanding. But that comes to the human as intuitions. They come as inspiration of goodness. That's another definition. They are celestial visitants. They are pure thoughts from God. Can you see how every time when she speaks about angels, that it has to do somehow with the mental atmosphere in the human realm, but with the good, exalted, inspiring thoughts in that realm of mentality? So it is really there where the students for the first time somehow touch something of the divine. In so far as his thoughts are touched to be exalted, to be rarefied, to be purified, to be inspired, to be guided. There is only one reference in the textbook where, if one does not read it carefully, one could think that Mrs. Eddy would attribute to angels the quality of idea. But when we know the categories of being, and as, especially as we go through Revelation, we can see that this reference, which I'm going to read quickly, is showing something else. Namely, there is a reference in Genesis where Mrs. Eddy says, men, M-E-N, mortals, men, may entertain angels, comma, the true ideas of God, comma, the spiritual sense of being. Now here perhaps if we read superficially we could say, but here she says that men entertain angels, comma, and elaborates those angels as the true ideas of God, and elaborates it further as the spiritual sense of being. Now, what this reference is going to show us is the whole, I would say, the whole range of Apocalypse. Namely, what she really means is that men may entertain angels, comma, plus, if it says, the true ideas of God, so they also can entertain true ideas of God, which is already the scientific sense of things, plus the spiritual sense of being. We'll see if we go through Revelation that actually she follows that line, that first she is presenting in the 10th chapter of Revelation only the level of scientific thinking, scientific thought. She doesn't speak anything about idea. Then she goes to the 12th chapter of Revelation, she speaks no more of thought or angels. She speaks of idea, 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 idea. And then she has done the 12th chapter of Revelation and comes to the higher level of absolute Christian science and divine science. Then she speaks about consciousness, and no more about idea, and finally about being. And that's the highest point. I will come back to it later on this week, but just at this moment, as a preview, I want to show clearly where the chapter starts. That it starts with angels, not with woman, not with the bride, not with the wife as the Lamb's wife. Those are states of consciousness that have a level sense, always rising higher and higher, and therefore we must be aware in which category we are thinking. Of this angel, it was said that it was closed. The angel, the image which comes from God, from heaven, was closed with a cloud. Now, this even shows clearer to us where we start out. That somehow we start out at the point where the angel, therefore God's thought, is still clouded. It is not clear. It is, and she said, it's closed with a cloud. But that it prefigures divine science. So she doesn't say that that angel is divine science. It only prefigures divine science. And this is important to see, because naturally the book that angel then has in his hand is divine science and contains divine science and contains absolute Christian science and Christian science, as we'll see later, but it only prefigures at this moment. Well, what means prefigure? The dictionary says it means to show, suggest, or announce by antecedent. So it is an antecedent, types and similitudes. It only foretells and foreshadows. Therefore, it is that point where the student begins, he begins to read and study Christian Science because he has some dim sense that in this book will be the answer to his life problems, that this book will contain really the science of being. He does not know it yet, but he already has that divine inkling within himself, that divine sense within himself, the angel that says to him, you know, there is something in this book which is big. Go and take it, go and read it, go and ponder it. But he has not yet touched divine science, but it prefigures divine science. Just as Jesus actually has said at his time before the Revelator was writing, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And this is as he says, and this comforter I understand to be divine science. So here she introduces how that divine science comes to the student. It comes as thought, divine thought. It comes in clouds. It's dim. It's not yet seen correctly. She therefore says, to mortal sense, science seems first obscure, abstract, and dark. So can you see, to mortal sense, divine science is obscure. One cannot quite yet define it. It is abstract. I'm so grateful for Mrs. Eddy that she puts in that term, abstract, because so many who read our books say, well, this is abstract, and they are abstractions. It's only because they have a dim sense of what is in the book. They don't understand it. What we present is not abstract at all. It's very down to earth when one understands it, because it really touches all the levels of consciousness. So all that criticism which we hear from Boston and from Peel and so on, that we are dealing with abstraction and so on, is only because he hasn't read our books and because he doesn't understand what we are teaching. But Mrs. Eddy says that's the way how it happens, that's how it will come. That the beginner may feel that it is abstract and has nothing to do with everyday life, and dark. Then Mrs. Eddy goes on, and we come to the tone of spirit now. To see, the tone of mind was that we have to deal with God's thoughts, mind translating itself to the point of thinking. Then we come to the tone of spirit, and the rainbow was upon his head. The head was the seat of understanding. So a rainbow is a sevenfold light that was upon his understanding. So he symbolizes that the understanding has to do with a sevenfold presentation of God, but the bright promise crowns its brow. So here we have that point that she says, when understood, can you see, when understood, it is truth, prism, and praise. That's the rainbow. Truth, prism. A prism is that which takes the light and splits it up into the rainbow color, and we see coming out of the prism the sevenfold color of that one light, the seven-hued light of which Mrs. Eddy speaks in the prose work. And she says it only needs the prism of this science to divide the rays of truth and bring out the entire hues of deity, which scholastic theology has hidden. So again, here we can see that the prism of spirit splits up that ray of light and shows the whole sevenfold reflection of God. So again, it is at that point where the student begins. He sees, he approaches the signs of Christian Science and says, look here, to the present age, the science of Christian Science is revealed. And he says, well, that would be wonderful That would be God's thought that responds that way in him. The angel within him says that's wonderful and doesn't reject it. And then he has the promise on his brow. He has the promise that through this understanding he will see the whole analysis of God, the sevenfold analysis of what constitutes the nature of God. Then he comes to the point of soul, where in Revelation says, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You at once detect here soul, because he says, and his face is always a symbol in the Bible for identity. We recognize and identify anybody through his face. We look not at his feet, we don't look at his toes. Huh? In order to recognize a man, we look at his face and say, well, that's him and him and him. So we get the identification of it, and it was what was the identification? As well as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Mrs. Eddy says the sun is the representation of soul outside of body. So at once we get the sense of soul identified outside the body, his spiritual, and his feet are pillars of fire. His feet are pillars of fire. Again we have that fire in the which we had in Revelation, that always would burn up everything that does not belong to the true identity of it. The metal was heated up with fire to melt it, so that they could separate really that which would not belong to the metal which they wanted to bring out. When you look it fairly in the face, gain the sense of identity, you can heal by its means. And it has for you a light above the sun, for God is the light thereof. And now she defines the feet. Its feet are pillars of fire, foundations of truth and love. Its feet are foundation of truth and love. We will notice now, from now on, as we go on in Revelation, that combination of truth and love will come up again and again. Why? Because we have seen Mrs. Eddy will pick up the whole tone of Revelation always at the 6,000 and 7,000 year period point of view, at truth and love.